So I want you to look around this morning. Look around at who is present with us today. This is the church. We are Christ's church. So I have a question for you today. Church, do you believe that God can use you? I want to tell you today that God can use you. And so I want us to ask God, just ask him today to use us. Say, God, use me. You ready? God, use me. All right, hold on to that for now. Do you ever think about doing incredible things? Maybe even let yourself dream a little bit about the amazing ways that God might use you. And then somewhere along that line of thinking, you begin to realize that maybe I'm just a little bit too ordinary for something like that. If you've ever felt too ordinary for a big impact, then you and Moses, you have something in common. You see, it takes faith to believe that you can do incredible things, and it takes power beyond yourself to actually do them. So in the Bible today, you're going to see that in the right hands, the ordinary can become extraordinary. So in the Bible today, we find out that God can use a simple stick. A simple stick. So I need to give credit where credit is due today. Part of this message is adapted from a sermon that I heard from Jentison Franklin. He's pastor of Free Church Chapel in Georgia. And I really caught attention to the title. The title was Just a Stick. So you got a stick today when you came. And I want to remind you, God can use you. In the story in Exodus 4, Moses is pretty sure, however, that God cannot use him. So maybe you're wondering to yourself today, you know, so far it all sounds pretty good, except can God really use me? I mean, really, really, can God use me? If we go back one chapter in your Bible, in Exodus 3, you'll find that Moses is in the middle of a burning bush experience with God. You know, that's amazing enough. When you consider that over the past 400 years at that part of the Bible, God hasn't spoken to anybody, and he shows up to Moses. But it's even more interesting when you consider that Moses has been on the run from his calling. And when you think about that, it's pretty unique, and that seems actually to be a common theme in the Bible, the kind of people that God chooses. So God is definitely tracking people who are on the run from his calling. So you wouldn't think that would be a qualifier for a God encounter, but it sure seems to be. See, God loves to empower people who are once on the run. So take a look at Moses in the story. It's been 40 years since he has run away from Egypt. He's out in the wilderness. He's probably 80 years old by now, likely thinking that he's outrun his calling long enough that he can live out the rest of his days quietly, uninterrupted by the bigger things than him. So God loves to interrupt plans like that. Have you been thinking maybe God's done with you? He's not. So I want to speak to you today if you've ever felt like Moses. Maybe you have been running from your calling. I think, in fact, all of us in some ways, we have been running from that calling God has placed on our heart. You might be getting on in years, and maybe you think it's too late for God to really use you anymore, at least in any impactful way. Or maybe you're a student, and you know that God is calling you. You might have even had a burning bush experience, and you are called by God, but you're actually going the opposite way. So I want to tell you, if that sounds like you, your time is now. This is your season. This is your hour. You were born for such a time as this. The truth is that God not only wants to use you, but God can use you, and God will use you if you are willing to let him. And it may be in ways that you haven't even considered yet. In the burning bush experience, God tells Moses, to go back to Egypt, to tell the people that God has seen their suffering over the past 400 years, and he is about to rescue them from the hands of Pharaoh, from the hands of slavery. Not only rescue, but he is about to bring them into a land flowing with milk and honey, life in all of its abundance. And to make matters even more amazing, God tells Moses, I'm going to use you to do it. And Moses is like, God, who am I? Who am I that I would lead these people? How am I going to do this? You can just hear Moses saying, I'm just an ordinary shepherd. Somebody say ordinary. Ordinary. Then the Lord said to him, what is in your hand? A staff, he replied. So what does that Moses have? He has an ordinary shepherd's staff. It's a simple stick. So when you came today, you got a staff, something that to hold in your hand. Take a look at that, would you? Take a look. What is in your hand? A stick, right? A simple stick. God needs Moses to understand that the stick in his hand was ordinary and unspectacular. It was normal. Look at your stick again. It's just an ordinary stick. But when the Lord commanded Moses to throw it on the ground, and Moses threw it on the ground, as we heard in the reading, what happened to it? It became a snake. Your Bible says that when God commanded Moses to throw down the stick, and he did, something supernatural happened, something spectacular happened. It became a snake. So don't start throwing your sticks on the ground, right? We don't want to see any snakes running around. Just keep holding on to them. Moses' stick was an ordinary stick. He used it to shepherd sheep for 40 years. You can imagine, it was probably worn a little bit, plenty of maybe sheep manure on it. The point is this. It's a stick that had never done anything or seen anything supernatural in all that time that Moses had it in his hand. But when he let it go, when he relinquished it to God, something supernatural took place. The stick became astonishing. The stick became supernatural. It was just a stick until Moses let it go and let God use it. Pastor Jensen Franklin, he makes this point so well for us that I actually want to just quote him because I can relate to this, and I think you will too. He says, sometimes we think we have to be sensational for God to use us. You ever feel like that? Super talented, super good looking, super brilliant, super amazing. And really what God is looking for is someone who is ordinary and average and common. Because sometimes all God needs is a... All right, this is an interactive sermon today, so let's try that again. Sometimes all God needs is a stick. So quit saying you're inadequate. Quit saying you're not smart enough. Quit saying you can't. Quit saying it's too big and you're too small. All God needs is a... And he's already evaluating all your excuses. And if God really wanted sensational or spectacular, he would have chosen that, but instead he chose you. All I need, God says, is a stick. Friends, you don't have to be something you're not in order to be used by God. All God is asking of you is that you just let him do his work through you. You are enough. Just be a stick. That seems pretty easy, right? But actually, for Moses, it wasn't easy at all. In fact, for him, it was super frightening. The Bible says, verse 3, Moses threw down the stick, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Now, Moses didn't think this was too amazing or sensational or exciting. He thought it was frightening, and he ran. And you know what? I get it. I'd be doing that with Moses, too. I would be running faster than he would down the desert, getting out of the way. So when I was in Texas as a young man, I had a job. I got a new job. I was pretty excited about it. And what our job was for this first newly hired crew was on a construction project was to clean up the area. So there was a litter and boards and plywood all around, and they told us to put on some good gloves, to wear some good boots, and go out and clean it up. So while we're picking up stuff and lifting things up, and the foreman, he casually says, oh, yeah, and underneath those sheets of plywood, that's where the big rattlers like to hang out. And I was like, what? This wasn't in the interview. I was ready to quit my job and walk off. Big rattlers. Like Moses, I have a healthy aversion to snakes. Maybe you can relate. I quickly learned that my wife Cheryl also shares a healthy aversion to snakes. She once told our kids that when they were wanting her to run with the kids wanted Cheryl to run with them, and she said, oh, I'm sorry, mommies don't run unless there's a snake. Then she runs like an Olympic sprinter. Yes, Cheryl, can I use that, by the way? So when I saw a big fat snake climbing up the wall on the outside of our farmhouse where we lived, I didn't bravely grab it by the tail and yank it out and get rid of it. I actually just was stunned. I slowly watched it disappear behind the siding, and then I never told Cheryl till after we moved. That was a harmless garter snake. It was a big snake, but it was a harmless snake. So I get when Moses ran. I mean, that's a pretty normal reaction. However, here's the key to God's supernatural power. This is the key. Take note of this. If you're going to fulfill God's purpose in your life, if you're going to follow God's call, you got to overcome your fear. You got to overcome the fear. And I got to tell you, there are times following God where it can be scary to be a stick thrown down for God's purpose. You know, the first time I had to do a public speaking engagement with the company I worked for, I was pretty sure I wasn't going to make it. I wore a nice suit, a tie, a shirt, but my speech was at the end of the day, my training, and by that time I was soaking through my arms, and I was pretty sure I was going to forget everything that I had practiced. You ever feel like that? So the first time I preached, it wasn't any better. I was pretty sure I wasn't going to make it, but here I am, right? And there's no snakes in here, I don't think. There have been times when I have said, God, Lord, I don't know what to do. It can be a scary place to be. Maybe you've been there. I don't know what's next. But I have learned over the years in those spaces, we have two choices. One is to quit and run, or one is to trust in God's supernatural power and go for it. Lay down our life and go for it. Moses learned that you can trust that if God is calling you forward, then God will overcome the obstacles in your way. So is there any place in your own life that you're still trying to rely on your own power? Maybe some place where you're stuck because of fear, like it's really scary. Some place in your life that you're not turning over to God. Somewhere where you know you're not walking where he's calling. Maybe you're still pushing back. Maybe you're running right now. Ask yourself this. What would it look like for me to rely on God's supernatural power? What would that look like? Moses ran from the snake, but God said, I want you to pick it up. God doesn't want you running. God says, I want you to confront your fear. Whatever it is, trust my supernatural power, God says. In verse 4, we read, then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. Now, I'm thinking Moses thinking, nope, that's not how you do it. That's not how you handle snakes. In my limited experience with poisonous snakes, I think the best way to handle one is like you see in the old westerns, right? You unholster that big 45, aim it at his head, and pull the trigger. Or maybe, you know, maybe you've watched some of the adventure movies. Another way to take care of it would be to get a big knife, you know, like a Crocodile Dundee knife. Like you could probably get one over here after the service. And then right before it's ready to strike, you just whack, and off goes its head. Or maybe you're a documentary fan. You don't want to harm God's creatures. I get that. Then carefully first subdue the head, get that immobilized, and then you can go for the tail. So what's in common with these three scenarios? It's the head, right? You gotta get the head. You start with the head. So why would God tell Moses to grab it by the tail? I think God's saying this. You can handle the little end, Moses. You can handle the little end. I've got the big end. Maybe that's how we ought to approach our own lives. God's saying, you handle the little end. I'll handle the big end. See, God is the source of supernatural power. Moses just had to let God do what God was going to do. The Apostle Paul reminds us of God's power in 1 Peter 4:10. He said, God has given each of you, every one of you, a gift, a supernatural gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. You see, that is your call, and it is by God's power, by God's gifts, that he has equipped you and I to do that. So like Moses, you are spiritually equipped with everything you need to accomplish that call. Not because you are so sensational, although you're just fabulous, you really all are, but it's not why, it is because God is. God's amazing. So you got to overcome the fear and step out and be an ordinary stick in God's hands. And then God will display his supernatural power through you. So the question that I have for you is this: where does God want you to serve as an ordinary stick? Where does God want you to serve? I never feel more like a simple stick than when we come around to doing the Alpha program each year. You know, I don't preach at Alpha. I don't teach at Alpha. All I do is greet people when they come in and eat some really good food. You know, I think to myself, I don't think I really need to be there. But the truth is, God does some amazing spiritual work at Alpha, supernaturally. You know, by the time the Holy Spirit week rolls around in the middle of February, it's dark, winter, Sunday evenings, I'm usually tired. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I don't do that much. Would it really matter if I don't show up tonight? And then we have the Holy Spirit night, and God shows up. And I hear weeks later, and I hear even years later, how God touched someone's life, how God healed them, how God worked in their lives in a supernatural way and brought them to this amazing place. And I think, wow, it's all because I simply showed up, along with a whole bunch of you, showed up and let God do his supernatural work through us. All God needs is a stick. So where does God want you to serve as a common, ordinary stick? So let me pick up in verse 4, right after Moses picks up the snake by the tail, and I'm going to wrap this up with what Jensen Franklin, he calls the real miracle in this story. So listen closely to what happens. So Moses reached out, took hold of the snake, by the tail I'm guessing, and turned it back into a staff in his hand. See, the greatest miracle is not that the stick turned into a snake, but it's that after God used it in this massive, amazing, miracle way, the snake could go back to being a stick. You see, God can bless you supernaturally. He can give you all the success in the world. God can do signs and wonders in your life. God can use you for his amazing purposes. But can it not change who you are? After all that, can you go back to just being a stick? You know, Bethlehem Church started as this little mission church on the prairie committed to bringing the gospel to the immigrants. And now it's impacting communities over around the whole area with the good news, but we're still just Bethlehem Church, you're still just a stick. I started out as a stick in a pig farm in rural Murdoch, and I'm on the Traverse County free stage. But I'm still just a stick. You know, it's my hope and prayer that God uses you to display his signs and wonders to those who are lost and left out and hurting and lonely in all your spheres of influence so that they will know the saving grace of Jesus Christ, that they will receive life in his name. And I hope that God works his supernatural power through you to rescue and bless more and more people. But in the end, you're still just a stick. That's right. Turn to someone and say to them, I knew you when you were still a stick. Now turn back to them and say, and you're still a stick. You see, it's all about God's power, right? It's all about God's glory. And this next verse is going to just fill in those blanks about Moses' call, but yours too. This said the Lord is so that they may believe, all those around you may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. The whole purpose of God's supernatural work and display in your life is to reveal that his message is true. It is from God. So what is in your hand? We began this message saying, God, use me. So let God use you through his supernatural power to share with those around you the truth of what God says, that he so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, Jesus. Say Jesus. That he gave Jesus, that whoever believes in him will not perish but will have everlasting life. You see, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus is our rescuer. So you have a calling. You are a follower, making followers of Jesus. It ends and it begins. It begins and it ends by serving as a common, ordinary stick. Will you be one? Please join me as we come before the Lord. Lord God, I thank you. I thank you and I praise you that you can take the ordinary and make it extraordinary. Lord, I thank you for your word today that reminds us, Lord, that in your hands all things are possible. And so, Lord, allow us to surrender our lives, Lord, to you. Not to think we need to be something spectacular, Lord, but just to come as we are so that you can do your spectacular work within us. Lord, help us, empower us, fill us with your spirit to share our faith with even the next person we meet today. Lead us, Lord. Lead us, Lord, to maybe lead a small group of friends this fall. Maybe, Lord, to gather with them and start reading the Bible. Lord, help us to serve where needed. Show us those places where we may not feel that we're worthy to serve, or we might feel overqualified to serve, but Lord, let us just serve for your glory. Lord, give us the courage to follow your call. Even when it seems difficult, even when it seems scary, Lord, help us to overcome our fear and take that step of faith. And Lord, you do what you do. So fill us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit and thank you. And if there's someone here today who hears this message and maybe wonders to themselves, if you're wondering, Lord, I'm not sure where I stand with you. I'm not sure if I have this relationship with you, Lord. I'm not sure I can be used by you. And I want to invite you to call out to the Lord. Just simply say, Lord, use me. And it all begins with Jesus. It all begins by faith in him. If you have never called out to Jesus and asked him to come into your life, then I want to invite you to do that right now. You know, we're all just ordinary sticks. None of us are qualified to serve God, but it is God himself who came to make us qualified. He came to die on the cross for our sins so that we could be forgiven. And then he went to the grave, and 3 days later he rose up to new life, proving that we are forgiven and that we have that new life. So Lord, anyone here today who seeks that new life, who wants your grace, I encourage you just to pray simple words like this. Repeat after me, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I want you to come into my life. Lord, I am sorry for my sins. I know that you died for me so that I could be forgiven. Lord, give me your new life. Give me your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your power. I praise you. And thank you for your new life. In Jesus' name, amen.